Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Appreciate you joining, and would ask that you would take a moment, if you've not done so already, and just maybe leave a review or invite somebody to listen to this podcast. That'd be a blessing. And you're a blessing. Just by being here every day means a lot to me. We're in Acts chapter 4 today, so we're moving. Josh, we're keeping the pace going.
Yeah, absolutely. We might be making some record time with this.
I think that they ought to have like a podcast Olympics. And in the podcast Olympics, I think we would right now be in first place.
I mean, you always got, you know, the great ideas. Most of the time, they're already taken. A few weeks ago was Sight and Sound.
Right.
This one's not taken. So
the
I think
podcast
you,
Olympics.
Yes, you got to take it to the next level.
I like that. I like that. Pray about that, my friends. We might just go there. So let's go ahead and long jump into verse 1 here. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, where the Bible says, "And as they spake," so anytime you're reading your Bible and you go to a new chapter, be careful not to lose the train of thought, especially when a chapter begins with a word like "and."
Right. Yeah. So often we allow the chapter and verse divisions to define even sometimes our interpretation of Scripture. And we have to remember that those weren't there originally.
So remember, Peter has preached this message and called for a response on the part of the people in Solomon's porch. We still don't have the numbers in as far as how many have responded, but it's going to be high. Mm-hmm. And you can only imagine the frustration that this is causing the religious leaders who thought they were done with this when they had crucified Jesus.
Yeah, for years, this has been their goal, to get rid of this one that is preaching the gospel, preaching about Jesus, and they crucified Jesus himself. They think, we're done with it, and now here Peter is garnering huge crowds that are listening to the gospel message.
So here we are in verse 1, where it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." Boy, they got to break this thing up, right? Verse 2, "being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." So especially are the Sadducees upset here, because they're upset for a twofold reason. Number one, they think Jesus is an imposter. But number two, they have consistently taught that the resurrection is just a fairy tale.
Yeah, and Luke is careful to point out there in verse 2 that he's preaching through the resurrection. He's preaching that Jesus rose from the dead. And we've seen that consistently throughout the last few chapters as Peter preaches.
Which is the benchmark of the gospel. So we could very easily say that they're upset that the gospel is being preached.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, the resurrection is what sets Jesus apart, aside from the fact that obviously he is God, but here he is, he rose from the dead. And so they're upset that Peter is showing them how to be saved through Jesus Christ.
I think the thing that alarms me so much about modern Christianity is that so many people take a middle road view of Jesus. He's not really the God, the Lord of my life, but he's, you know, not an imposter either. He just has a place in my life. But in the New Testament, Jesus was always a divider. You had to believe one or the other. Either you were all in or you were all out. But there's just no middle ground with Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Jesus, even in his ministry, as he dealt with a rich young ruler, as he dealt with so many others, Nicodemus, you know, he was clear that he was the way to heaven, and that he was the perfect sacrifice, that he was the holy one. We see in 1 Peter, you know, chapter 1, the encouragement, be holy as I am holy. And so, I think for sure, as we look at Christianity today, and even the way that our society views Jesus today, it's definitely not in the highest of regards as Peter was dealing with him here in this chapter.
So verse 3, they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. So they spend the night in jail. Excuse me. They spend the night in jail. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word. So in other words, they got there too late. So howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So a couple of factors here that help shape the story. Number one, just the sheer number of people. So the number that believed, about 5,000. So think about Pentecost, which was an extraordinary number, mm-hmm. 3,000. Now, a chapter later, 5,000 people. Now you say, well, how does that happen? Were there 5,000 people all listening to Peter at one time, and they responded to this message with a big, huge invitation? No, we shouldn't backfill our experience onto the Bible. I think the clue is in the time frame. So what do we know from chapter 3? We know that they came to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So that would be 3:00 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's eventide. So it's been 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
So there's been the opportunity to deal with the crowd. You've got to picture a number of other Christians there that are leading people in understanding, answering questions, working through this thing. I'm sure that this was an ongoing evangelistic effort.
Yeah, I think it would be careless of us to think that this was just Peter and John that were present here. Certainly, Peter is the preacher. I mean, certainly, obviously, from Scripture, he's the one delivering the bulk of the message. But remember, they're together in unity at this time. All the disciples were. And so, you know, what is discipleship? Well, it's exponential growth. And so probably what was taking place here was that many people were getting involved in this evangelism effort. And now people are seeing everybody else, and they're coming to know Christ as a result of their testimonies.
You know, Josh, you've preached some camps, teen camps, and youth conferences, and a wonderful sight is when a salvation message has been clearly preached, and people whom the Holy Spirit has convicted respond, and then you see them scattered, praying with different personal workers, and they're answering some questions, they're helping them in their newfound faith, and that's really what I picture here.
Yeah.
The message is Peter's. He's clearly given the gospel. But there's a time frame involved, and I've got to believe other, as you cited, some
sure.
other workers involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Verse 5, so it's been a night now in jail, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, so those two guys are notorious because they tried Jesus, and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. So for them, this is kind of like deja vu.
Absolutely, and not in a good way, to be sure. You know, what amazes me about these few verses is just the sheer number of people, and then also the rank of people as we get there to verse 6. And we see Annas and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, all the people that are coming against Peter and John here. But yet, there were 5,000 that came to know Christ. And so there's this persecution that's taking place. Peter and John have been arrested. They've been kept in prison overnight, but yet there's still people that are turning to Christ.
And remember, what is the motive for these high priests? Because you'd think that, wow, there's this religious fervor. Pentecost has just ended. What are they so afraid of? What they're afraid of is losing their control. both in popularity and in money. Historians tell us that the temple trade had been so sullied that they actually called it the Bazaars of Annas because it was a racket, is what it was.
Yeah.
It was a monopoly. So what they did is they would take the temple sacrificial animals and they would inflate the cost by 4 or 5 times the normal cost. I want to pay for a turtle dove, I got to pay way extra because it's a temple certified turtle dove or a temple certified lamb. Or if I had my Roman coinage and I have to pay the temple tax or make a contribution to the temple, I couldn't do so with Roman money. You couldn't have anything with Caesar's image in the temple. So they would exchange their money, but the money exchangers would charge an exorbitant exchange rate. Like if you've ever tried to change money before you get out of baggage claim at the international airport, that's a bad place to exchange money.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to point out. That, and then the other thing that I thought of is like concessions at a basketball or baseball game.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they don't allow you to bring your own food in, so they can charge as much as they want for a hot dog.
That was Annas.
And that's what's going on here.
So here's Peter and John, these humble fishermen, but now they're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're standing before the most intelligent, powerful, religious family in Israel.
Yeah.
Right there, with all the pomp and circumstance, kind of like the high court. Verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? So what is their concern?
Yeah, they're wondering what's the power that Peter's preaching through? You know, who is it that he's claiming to receive power from?
Right. Who's authorizing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, by what authority do you do this? Because it's really a loaded question because they're the authorizing agent.
Right.
So who gave you the authority to do this?
Yeah.
You don't have any right to do this. You're preaching in this public park. Well, no, I'm the mayor of this town. Who gave you? Where'd you get the permit to do this?
Mm-hmm.
So they're beginning their inquiry by asking about jurisdiction. They're asking about permitting. And they're about to just pounce on them.
Yeah, you know, as we get ready to listen to those verses and enter into that section of the passage, I just think how intimidating this must have been and this could have been for Peter and John as they stood before, as you said, kind of the high court family. I mean, these are the people that are in charge. And then I would go back to the point that I made a couple minutes ago. Look at how many people have come against them. Groups of people, the Sadducees, the scribes, the priest, the captain of the high priest. You know, I mean, this is a good number of people that have come against Peter and John, and that have laid their hands on him, as the Bible says, and thrown them into prison.
I think they were asking a secular question. I remember years ago, I was out knocking on some doors and telling people about the Lord, and I was in a trailer park, and it was a private trailer park, privately owned. And somebody came up to me and said, "Who told you you could be here?"
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know what to say. I was just a kid preacher, and this is private property. You don't have any authorization to be here. Now, if I had been smart and had been spiritual, I would have said, "I come in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit." But you know, he had asked a secular question, and my thinking was secular in answering.
Yeah.
But what we're going to find out next episode is that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, had a heavenly and spiritual mindset. And it was a mindset that governed his answers for the rest of the Inquisition. And it's a wonderful mindset. So I don't want you to miss. I meant to get a little bit farther today, but we'll jump right back into this. Appreciate you joining us today. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.